Hey, we are ramping it up, aren't we? We've been talking about anxiety. We've been talking about joy stealers, and this morning we're talking about anxiety. I was with two of my clergy friends. We were loud friends. I know it's amazing, but we are. This week, Paul, who is one of the guys at the cathedral, and Roland, who's one of the local ministers. We meet together every couple of months, have lunch together, and chat about you. That's just how it works, you know. And I was saying to them, oh, we're doing this series on joy stealers. And they were both like, what are you doing that for? Are you trying to depress your church? And I'm like, no, it's not like that. We're trying to get hold of the things that knock us off course and say, hey, there is joy to be found here, because Jesus is in the middle of whatever it is we're going through. So this morning, we're going to think about anxiety. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, talks about anxiety. And if you think about anxiety in your world right now, you will know what it feels like. You know, they used to say, didn't they, that one in three people will have some sort of mental health challenges in their life. And in 25 years almost of Christian ministry, I can tell you that is completely wrong. One in one, isn't it? One in one will face, some people face, obviously, you know, massive mental health challenges, crises. But all of us will have those moments, sometimes often, of crippling anxiety, of things that absolutely knock us off course, that stop us doing our normal life, our normal things. And often in our world, I think we feel helpless. What do we do about this? What can we do? And it's not a simple answer, and it's not a simple 30-minute sermon, but it is somewhere to start, because actually the scripture has got some complex things to say to us about how we deal with the challenges here in our brains and in our hearts. Because that's what we're fighting this morning. So we're going to read from the book of Philippians. This is Philippians chapter 4, 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's good, isn't it? Now, this is a really messy passage. And just imagine yourself, if you've got teenage kids and you're going away for the weekend and you're leaving them in the house. This is the 3 minutes before you leave the house. You leave it and you're shouting, don't forget to put the bins out. Blue and green bins, not purple. Put the dishwasher on. Empty the dishwasher. Put the washing machine on. Don't do that. Don't have friends around. Don't smoke. Don't do pot. Don't take drugs. Love you. Bye. Gone. Now that's what Paul is doing here. It is this, like, it seems like this random boom, 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 boom thing. But actually it all fits together. It is all about anxiety and joy. It's all about rejoicing in the middle of challenge. Just like as you're leaving the house, it's all about you coming back to something that is not a bomb site. They're connected, aren't they? Some of you don't get that, but believe me, you will. Some of you have forgotten, and isn't that a beautiful place to be? Now, this is 2,000 years ago, right? And we are told constantly we are the most stressed people ever, aren't we? We are the most stressed people. And that might actually be true. We may be the most stressed people. But anxiety and stress is not new. As Paul writes this, he's actually writing commentary on a sermon that he's heard from this guy called Jesus. You might have heard of him. And in Matthew 6, Jesus preaches this sermon. And he says, do not worry. Do not worry about what you will wear, about what you will eat. Do not worry. Don't the pagans run after that stuff. You trust in God. Jesus preaches this sermon, and we know for a fact that Paul has heard that sermon. He wasn't there, but that sermon has been repeated. This is an oral culture, and people have heard that sermon. Jesus, probably like any good itinerant preacher, probably got half a dozen sermons that he preached over and over and over again. And so we know that Paul is actually writing here things that we find in Matthew 6, which is really interesting for us Bible geeks, and for those of you who aren't like that, just let it pass. But anyway, fantastic. Paul is preaching what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, there's anxiety in your life, just like there's anxiety in our lives. The biggest anxieties, they reckon, actually are local to us. So you might be a bit anxious about the planet. I went to McDonald's yesterday. Is that a good thing to admit? Well, anyway, I went to McDonald's yesterday and I didn't get a straw. Because, come on, I'm saving the oceans. There was no straws there, that was why. But anyway, they ran out. No, seriously, I didn't ask for one. But you could ask for one. I didn't ask for one. Because I've got some anxiety about the planet. Do you share that anxiety? So there's been anxieties. You might have anxiety about going into the city centre because, you know, there's terrorists and people who do stuff in city centres, so we get anxious about that stuff. But actually, for most people, the core of anxiety is our lives. Will I lose my job? Will I lose my relationships? Anxiety comes from bereavement and from loss. All those things do not change with time, do they? They don't change with history. All of us are in that place. So as Paul writes this, he's writing to us. And it's worth noting something. In Philippians 2:28, Paul talks about his own anxiety. So here he is in chapter 4, not that many words later, saying, don't be anxious about anything. But in chapter 2, he said, I'm anxious for Epaphroditus. I'm anxious for this guy. I'm anxious that he might die. I'm anxious that I should send him home. So he's recognising that anxiety is real, even in, or for everybody, the holy ones, is what I'm saying, are not exempt. Everyone has this come at them. I would even say that Jesus suffers from anxiety. If you read the account in Gethsemane, where Jesus is heading for the cross, he's sweating drops of blood, it says, and he talks about, oh Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He's anxious. It is a human condition. So when we come to anxiety, we need to think about where it comes from. And it's a really good idea to try and get hold of the source of things. What is the source of my anxiety? Where is this stress coming from? I have to tell you that I am anxious every Saturday evening and every Sunday morning, without fail. Because for 15 years, I have preached pretty much every week. And I'm anxious about the word. I'm anxious that it would make sense. I'm anxious that you could understand the language. I'll tell you what, I've got this big offence going on in my life right now. We've been watching the Alpha Course. We've been doing the Alpha Course, and we're watching this video, and they have all sorts of people on Alpha with all sorts of strange accents, and the only ones that get subtitled are the blokes from Teesside. It is absolutely offensive to me. What are they doing that for? I didn't know, man. Are we? I mean, you know, there's people from all over the world. I mean, there's an Italian bloke speaking in English with a strong Italian accent. Subtitled? No. The bloke from Hartlepool? Yes. But I get anxious. I get anxious. You might think, oh, but you're doing so well. You might think you'd be used to it by now. But there is a good anxiety, isn't there? There is a good anxiety. It's like I'm not trusting in my own ability or my incredible eloquence. I'm not, or anything. I want to trust in God. But I am. And once I get up here, I'm fine. It's a good anxiety. It's a God anxiety. There's anxieties in our lives where actually you're anxious about something that you shouldn't do. You know, there's those things in life where you think, oh, why do I feel stressed about this? Because it's stupid. Why do I feel stressed about this relationship I'm in? Because it's bad for you. There is things that you need to flee from, the Bible says. So they're the good things. But what about when we are anxious about something that is just normal and yet it cripples us? What about when we are anxious about something that you know, going to the shops or coming in this building? As people have told me, they find coming to this place a place of anxiety. Oh, you have to ask yourself, where does that come from? Where does that come from? And sometimes you can spot it straight away. If you've been in a place of bereavement, you might be in a place of anxiety. And actually you can see, my anxiety comes from my bereavement. And you know, hopefully, that as your bereavement, as the pain lessens, the anxiety lessens. But sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you're anxious and you don't know why. And that's when you need friends. That's when you need somebody else to speak into your life. You might need professional help. You might need a counsellor. We can recommend a fantastic counsellor in this church, and there's others available out there. But you might need somebody just to sit down with you and go, come on, let's find the root of this so we can deal with it. I hope my team won't mind me telling you this, but at one point in 2017, all six of our church team were in counselling. Could be something to do with the boss. We're not sure that could have been the source. But all of us at some point in that year were like, oh, you know what? We just need to go and talk about some of this stuff that's getting us. All of us face this. Get hold of the source. It might take time, but get hold of the source, because if you do, you can do something about it. But there is an answer. There is an answer to anxiety. And Paul gives us the answer here. He talks throughout Philippians about the challenges and the pressures he's going under. He is sharing his problems. That's amazing, isn't it? We are possibly the most anxious society because we are the most alone society. And we hide our anxieties. So coming in this morning, people ask me how I am. And I ask you, and we all know the rules. On the way into church, you say fine, don't you? You might even say, I'm fantastic. Oh, I'm great. I'm brilliant. On the way out, you tell the truth, right? That's the rules. On the way out, you can say, actually, I'm not great. But does anybody ever say to me, I'm really anxious? It's rare. I mean, some do, but it's rare. We don't share something that all of us face. And we should. We should. It's having others lifting the load with us, having somebody else lifting the weight with us. I'm in this thing. It's causing me deep stress, and I don't know why. Get the people with you. Get some help. As Crocodile Dundee so beautifully says, hasn't she got any mates? Is there nobody there who will talk to her? If we're in this place of anxiety, get somebody who will listen to you, who will speak with you. And then, what do you do? Well, Paul says we should focus on something else. I don't know whether you've heard of this word mindfulness. I've talked about it a couple of times over the years. But Christian mindfulness is basically taking your mind away from this thing that is just on loop in your head. And it's making you go, I'm going to physically look away from this thing at something else. There's a book called A Book of Sparks. It's fantastic kind of devotional book, helping us focus on something other than the thing that's causing me stress. I'm terrible at learning scripture, unless you know that. You know, my brain doesn't work like that. But I learned Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went to a quiet place to pray. You might think, what good is that? It's a strange verse. But I used that as a mindfulness, and I still do, as a mindfulness technique. When things are stressing me out, when I'm feeling really anxious, right, I can't just stop thinking about it. Try that one. When somebody says to you, oh, just stop it. Does that work for you? Anybody? We need to do something. So I'm going, right, I'm going to look at this. And I then picture Jesus getting up. It's still dark. It's really early. I've never been up really early. I don't know what that feels like. But, you know, I'm picturing him. I'm seeing him doing it. I'm taking my mind somewhere else. Paul says, focus on something else. He actually gives us this fantastic list, doesn't he? Verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about these things. I think he's recognizing that our brains take us back to the anxiety over and over again. And he's saying, look at something else. Look what God has done. Start thanking God for it. It's that crazy Christian thing where you thank God for the difficult circumstances you're in. It is countercultural and it is amazing. It sets you free. I'm thankful for the beautiful trees on Brodie Avenue and Mather Avenue in our neighbourhood. I'm highly allergic to the pollen. It makes me feel quite ill. But they look fantastic, don't they? I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord, for that place. So Paul's given us this answer to anxiety, but it's not all stuff you do. It is also about the Spirit of God working in our lives. He says to us, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving. So when you're in this place of anxiety, you need to start doing a bit of battle. You need to pray. And if you've never prayed before and you're in something where it's causing you to be anxious, let me give you a little challenge. Have a go at prayer and see what God does. Because he is incredible. And he gives us, Paul gives us these three things. They're not all the same thing. So prayer, that's your relationship with God. So that's this conversation you've got going on. God, if you're there, I'm quite anxious about this Sunday morning. I've got communion and I've got a dedication and I'm in this bank holiday weekend. We don't know who's going to turn up and all that stuff. Quite anxious about it. And the Lord said, it'll be all right, son. Just go. It'll be all right. That's conversation. But petition is coming and saying, I want something to change. I am sick of this. God, will you do something? Because this is crippling me. That's petition. And petition is not something you can do on your own. Try that on the YouGov survey, right? Get a petition, get one person to sign it, see what they do. It doesn't work, does it? How many do you need for the government to do something? You need the whole nation, and they still ignore you. No, okay. Petition. It's getting some, you know, I'm not saying you share your life with everybody, but you need some trusted friends who will petition the Lord for you. This anxiety is killing me. This stress is killing me. And then he says, give thanks. It's an incredible thing. Give thanks. In the middle of it, one of my heroes is a lady called Corrie Ten Boom. She's with the Lord now. And her and her sister were in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And I might have told you the story like 1,000 times, but I don't care because it's brilliant. They're in this concentration camp and her sister is saying, let's give God thanks for where we are. And Corrie's like, that's insane. How can you thank God for this place? So look at the people we're sharing Jesus with. And look at this bedroom we're in. These bunks are full of the fleas. And her sister's going, yeah, but the fleas keep the guards away. And that means we can pray. Whatever Corrie said, her sister had something to thank God for. Now that's supernatural, I think. But we need to change our thinking. I'm going to thank God for this. I'm going to thank God for this situation. I'm going to thank God for this person who's causing me anxiety. I'm going to thank God for this illness that's causing me anxiety. I'm going to thank God for this situation that's causing me anxiety. I'm going to be thankful. It's an attitude. And as we change our attitudes, something changes. Prayer. Just talk to God about it. Petition. Get people on side. Thanksgiving. Put it into your life. It is amazing. And rejoice. Rejoice always. It's a really funny little bit of Greek, this, because the phrase Paul uses there is actually a salutation. It's like a goodbye or a hello. So rejoice in the Lord always is like, good night and God bless, or see you later, or au revoir, or au wiedersehen, pet, or one of those. It's like a goodbye. It's something that is common, I think, in the early church. Rejoice in the Lord always. But then he says it again. Then he says it again. He says it over and over again. Rejoice, have joy, be thankful. It's all coming from the same place. He's saying to the church, this is where the power is. And then the peace of Christ, which passes understanding, will fill your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You can't just get peace. It has to be given to you. That's what Paul's saying here. It's not the absence of war. It is the shalom of God, the presence of God in our situation that just makes us go, ah, I am at peace. God is good. Go on. We need to see anxiety arrested. We need to see it changed because it, as lots of you know, it will cripple you. It will stop you doing the things that God has called you to do. It will prevent you from being the person that God wants you to be. It is an action of the enemy at the people of God. And so we need to start to put this stuff and put into action. I will not be beaten by this. I will not let this stop me. I will focus my mind somewhere else. I will share my challenges with others. I will pray and I will petition God. But I will also receive what he wants to give me. The peace of Christ that passes understanding. When I was 24, I'd been a Christian a few months and I left home in the northeast and moved to London. 6th of December, Sunday evening, I go to church. I go to a church called Kensington Temple. Massive multicultural church, absolutely fantastic place to worship. Just brilliant. And the pastor spoke on this passage. And I was not at peace. I was starting a new job the next day. I was a northern boy in a southern town. I wasn't quite sure where I was going. I wasn't quite sure what I was doing. I wasn't quite sure that this was going to work for me. And as he preaches this, he then prays over the church, the peace of God that passes understanding. It changed my life. And that year in London changed my life. Met my wife. That rhymed. It was lovely. Fantastic thing. But I went through that year at peace because of something God did. I was doing the other stuff as well, but this is about what God wants to do with you this morning. So I'd like to pray for you. You can keep your eyes open or you can close them, whatever you want to do. You might just want to hold your hands out as if God's got something to give you, because he has. You might not want to if you don't want to. That's absolutely fine. No one's going to pick on you. I'm going to close my eyes, so I'm not looking at you anyway. But I want to pray the peace of Christ over you. I don't know your situations. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what anxiety there is going on in your life right now. But I do know that God wants to break it. And I do know he wants to bring peace like a river. Lord, I pray right now that you would come. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. And where there's anxiety, Lord, I just pray you take it away. Lord, help us discern the source of this stuff. And I just pray the peace of Christ over your church here, Lord. Over every single person sitting in these seats. That passes understanding. It just comes, and we don't know why we're peaceful, but we've got it. Lord, I pray for your peace to sit on every head, heart and mind. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. I love that little, one of those little things he throws out here is the Lord is near. Isn't that good? The Lord is near. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, the Lord is near. And just to finish with, Paul says, this is a guard for you. The peace of Christ comes and it guards you. It's like having a garrison in your life. If you've lost your peace, he wants to return it. He wants to bring it back into your life because it is a guard in your life. Why do you need guards? Because people want to come and rob you, don't they? They want to come and rob your peace and take what you've got. And God here says, have this peace, which is beyond understanding. You can't figure it out. But you have peace in the middle of it. And when you've got that, that is a guard for your heart and your mind and your very self. What's God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it?